I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome back to the Eye on College Basketball podcast, everybody. Women's Tournament Edition. My name is Ashley Nicole Moss, and I have my girl, Tarika Foster Brasby, in the building. What's up, Tarika?
Hey, girl. I'm here. We survived.
Girl, listen, the first two rounds are in the books, and they gave us no shortage of talking points. We are going to try to dive into them all. But before we get into all of it, we'd love for you guys to go ahead and subscribe, share this with a friend who you know already loves or is trying to get into women's college basketball so you can see more of this kind of content. Now, let's dive into it right off the bat. I mean, there's so much to get into, but I think the best thing we can go ahead and start with is the higher seeds, for the most part, won a lot of their matchups in the first two rounds. And, you know, that seemed to be the trend throughout this past weekend. I mean, were you surprised by any of the lack of upsets this weekend?
I was not. I was surprised at the upset that we got. Like Louisville?
Yes, yes.
Out in the within the first weekend, I did not see that coming. But I'm not surprised at the lack of upsets per se, just
right.
Because that like isn't something that's historically attributed to women's basketball. Like you don't tend to see a lot of first round upsets in women's basketball. But what I can say is that there weren't many blowouts either. And like that is what I really appreciated, that a lot of those first round matchups or at least first weekend matchups were really close. And I think that is really showing us the parity in women's basketball, that it's not a foregone conclusion that lower seeds are not going to be competitive against higher seeds in the first couple of rounds. Like they're going to bring their A game, and they made it really close for a few teams.
Yeah. I mean, even when you think about, you know, the teams that you maybe anticipated to go ahead and blow out certain teams didn't do that. I mean, you look at the last game that's on the tip of my memory right now, Iowa and West Virginia, that game was a lot closer than I think a lot of people anticipate. I mean, you know, Caitlin Clark's last game at home, you know, she'll never come back to that arena as a college student. She'll be a professional. So it's very, you know, sentimental. It's nostalgic, all of that. But West Virginia said, you know what? We don't care about any of that. We're attempting to spoil this for you. And they got close. I was like, girl, this may not be.
West Virginia is not, they were not scrubs. And I don't know who would have thought that they would have been. But even going to the Iowa State Stanford matchup, instant classic. Like instant classic, overtime matchup, seeing Audi Crooks and Cameron Brink cancel each other out, bringing it down to, you know, other players needing to step up. Emily Ryan, this went off. Kiki Iriefen went off for Stanford, 42 points, I believe, or over 40 points. it was like, those are the kinds of moments that we look forward to in March. And it was great to see that, like to see games that close and that tight. I love that. I love that for us. And I love the way that women's basketball is trending, where we're getting more of that. So we don't really care that people aren't upset when we're like on the edge of our seat thinking like, oh my God, how is this going to end?
I mean, in all fairness, like you said, so many good games, so many close games, which I feel like is more exciting than upsets. I mean, don't get me wrong. Upsets are great, but an upset that's a blowout is kind of like, eh. I mean, for example, South Carolina UNC, not a good game. And I'm a UNC girl through and through, both men and women.
I know.
And I went in there thinking like, okay, you know, we did our bracket last pod. And I said, you know, South Carolina is going to advance. I thought it was going to be a little bit more intense for them in terms of competition. That score was 60-19 or something like that at the half. And I said, yeah, this is not going to work out for us. You know,
y'all are in a different league.
It's not going to be able to do it. But during, you know, the first few rounds, you know, the conversation's kind of been had on X, formerly known as Twitter. I can't believe I just referred to it as X. I guess I have to.
Twitter forever.
It's Twitter forever, right? A lot of WNBA players and former WNBA players were sharing their thoughts. Crystal Laghorn was one of them, who basically said, I think that it might be time for the first two rounds to be played on neutral sites. We did see, you know, South Carolina was playing at home. Iowa was playing at home. I mean, the list goes on and on. Do you agree with this sentiment?
I'm on the fence for a couple of reasons. So pro neutral site, the game is growing, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel that because the game is growing, it is time for us to consider what that evolution would look like from a standpoint of giving us more. So neutral sites gives everyone the opportunity to travel. It gives everyone, you know, the opportunity to, you know, see what their fan base is, how their fan base is going to support. It gives everyone, quote unquote, an equal playing field, I guess. Right. So I get that. I get that understanding. Con neutral site. I don't want to see the value of winning your conference, having a tough schedule, being like one of the top teams in your conference. I don't want to see that diminished. And for me, that's part of one of the reasons why you work so hard in the regular season and in the conference tournament, so that you can host, so mm-hmm. that you can be the one to host and not. And I think that's fair and deserved. I also like the fact, like, let's not be, you know, coy here. These schools get paid, like these programs get money for hosting at their schools. And I know, you know, it's not like they necessarily like, oh, we're feeding this team a lot of money or the school that already makes money more money. But mm-hmm. I mean, for these particular programs, like, I feel like it's great to have people travel, come build a camaraderie and a connection with that institution. And we don't get to see things like Caitlin Clark playing her last game in Carter Hawkeye Arena. So I'm kind of, and let's just also make sure we note that a lot of this neutral site conversation is circling around the fairness of whether or not people are calling the game fair. And it don't matter what site you're playing at. This is true. Officiating.
Like
officiating in some of those matchups were real questionable. And I was thinking to myself, are these WNBA officials? Because there's a lot of stuff looking real familiar right here.
For sure. I mean, you bring up two very good points. I mean, we see in professional sports all the time, which is what collegiate sports are kind of starting to model more and more themselves after, especially with NIL and being able to make money off your, you know, name, image, and likeness, which is very much something you're able to do in professional leagues. You know, home court advantage is very much a thing. You know, home court advantage is very much a thing in the playoffs, in the finals, you know, in the Super Bowl, in the playoffs, you know, in the NFL. I mean, that's what you work so hard, to your point, during the regular season for, so that you can play in front of your home crowd. You can play in front of, you know, your family. You can play on a site that you're very much used to playing for half of the season. You know the court, you know the ins and outs. And there have been a lot of statistics that have shown that home court advantage is a very real thing. So to your point, I actually don't have an issue with that. And if it is, you know, a referee or an officiating thing, let's be honest, ever since sports betting and gambling has become a thing, and we broke this down on the Beyond the Arc podcast the other day, anytime a ref makes a call, you're always looking at him crazy or her crazy, especially if it's a game deciding call. you know, you're always kind of wondering who's, you know, quote unquote, on the books, who's not, who has favoritism. I don't think that goes away if you put it on a neutral site. I just think that you're on a neutral site with a ref who wants a certain team to win, maybe. I just think it happens that way.
I don't know. I don't know if I would go so far as to say like the refs are like dirty in that way.
Yeah, of course. Then I'm just being
right. But yeah. I mean, but there are some biases. Adjustments. Yeah, there are some biases and there are some adjustments that need to be made as it relates to officiating. And I think that needs to be the first thing that's addressed.
Right.
Where you play doesn't matter, to your point, if the refs are still going to be officiating in a way that is not conducive to the style of play that we're seeing. So that's what you need to fix. We can worry about neutral sites as the game continues to grow, as the money continues to come in, because we know it's coming in. So we're definitely not about to go that way and say, well, y'all not making money. No, the women's tournament is making money. But I
don't think that neutral sites, I mean, fan bases travel, you know, college fan bases are fanatical.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these schools, this is their best team that they have. Some of these are not big football programs, so it's not like they're big football schools. So their basketball teams are everything. They'll travel. Refs tend to be influenced by the crowd. So I don't know if it may change the amount of people that they're influenced by, the cheers and the roars or the boos, whatever the case may be. It may be a little bit more even down the split when it comes to, you know, which side the fans are for. But I don't know if that changes a lot of the factors that sometimes influence refs in their decision making.
No, I agree. Just let's worry about the officiating. We'll get to neutral sites at some point. I think at some point it will make sense. I'm just not convinced that it's right now.
All right. Well, listen, coming up, we will look forward to the Sweet 16 and potential Elite Eight matchups that we will see in Albany. We'll be right back.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code ODYSSEY. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, everybody. Ashley here, Tarika here, and we are going to discuss, or rather we need to discuss, the Albany region. And yes, that includes the bracket of death that is surprisingly still very chalky. Now, let's get into it. First of all, our bracket, if you guys, you know, used our bracket to go ahead and you know, make your bracket, we apologize in advance. in all fairness, Tarika did warn you.
So we did. But we got a lot of them right, though. We got a lot of them right.
We did. Obviously, Louisville kind of screwed a lot of people. That is not our fault. Please don't hold us accountable. Disclaimer at the bottom of the pod. So listen, we were talking about this region. It's safe to say that we're getting the Iowa-LSU rematch in the Elite Eight, or is it safe to assume that?
That's a great question. I don't know if it's 100% safe. I feel like the matchup that we saw against West Virginia and Iowa led us to believe that Iowa can be a bit vulnerable. Caitlin Clark is phenomenal. 32 points were necessary, but I think that's just it. They needed her to score 32 points in order to win that game. The defense from West Virginia was stiff. Like, they weren't giving up much. This team won with 64 points, and I don't know how many teams you can say can hold Iowa to 64 points. They're one of the top three scoring offenses in the nation. So I think that it led us to some questions that won't easily be answered as they're looking to face Colorado. Colorado right. is another team that's very balanced. They've got two amazing scorers and players on their team in Jalen Sherrod and Aaronette Vonleh. And Vonleh is a 6'3 center that's going to bring it, right? And so the one thing that I'm curious to see is whether or not Hannah Stalky, who's their premier post player for Iowa, is going to be able to step up. Now, kudos to her. She dropped a double-double against West Virginia, and it was necessary. But I think the main point that makes me nervous about mm-hmm. whether or not Iowa is going to get to the Elite Eight is if they are going to be consistent offensively and help Caitlin. I have no doubt Caitlin going to drop like 30, 40 on them. Right. I have no doubt about that. But who's going to help her? Like, who is going to be the person to help her? That's the question. I don't have an answer for that. So until I can have a consistent answer for that, I can't automatically write Iowa into the Elite Eight. We will have to see what happens. And Colorado going to have a chip on their shoulder. Because right. Colorado out last year? Iowa.
Yes.
So,
I mean, it's
a bit of an issue.
It's definitely interesting. If you use the West Virginia game as kind of, you know, the gauge for potentially how the rest of Iowa's matchups will go. I mean, obviously, West Virginia outscored them by 4 in the second quarter and then tied them in points in the fourth quarter. But if you look at it, one of the things that stood out to me is in the second quarter, they held Caitlin Clark to, I think, under 6 points in that yes. quarter and also completely removed Gabby Marshall from the game. I mean, she was not a factor, at least offensively speaking. Defensively, she went ahead and she was able to make some things happen, but completely removed her from the game. She had 0 points for anyone who's unsure what that means. Zero, not a single one. So it is interesting how defensively just on attack mode West Virginia it was rather. And I wonder if other teams are watching that and saying, okay, now we know how to beat this team. Caitlin Clark in Iowa. Yet it sounds good on paper. It sounds like a Cinderella story. It would be magical, but West Virginia just kind of gave you the blueprint on how to go ahead and hit them where it hurts.
Yeah, I think that Iowa has had that I think that teams that provide a very strong press coverage or press defense are mm-hmm. the teams that Iowa struggled with earlier this year. They did that against Kansas State, in which they ended up losing one of those matchups. They did it against Penn State. Now, they ended up winning both of those against Penn State, the second one being a blowout. But to Iowa's credit, they also stepped up defensively, which was one of the reasons why I really enjoyed this matchup, because they are not a team that is known for their defense. But it was understood that in order for them to really try to put pressure on West Virginia, they were going to have to step it up to a next level defensive effort, and they did that. And I got to give them love and credit for that, because that showed us that they know how to adjust and approach the game differently in order to secure a win. That's important. But again, depth is also going to be important. And when you're not getting points from Gabby Marshall, when you're not getting a strong offensive effort from Kate Martin, and you only have to rely on Caitlin Clark. And that has been my criticism the entire year about Iowa. Like, it is not that they're not good or not talented, because they absolutely are. And it really ain't even been about Caitlin, because
they're top heavy.
No denying. Right. There's no denying what Caitlin is and what Caitlin right. can do. My criticism has only and always been, who's going to help her? Because as you get through the tournament, you cannot do it alone. You need help. So that's it.
That's absolutely the fact. I mean, across all sports, especially like going back to the comparisons between professional, we see that all the time when a team is top heavy, and usually in the NBA, for example, it's one or two guys, you know, the stars on the team, and the rest of the team is just very empty. We've seen that formula not work 9 out of 10 times. We saw it with the Brooklyn Nets. We're seeing it with the Phoenix Suns. I mean, the list goes on and on. When you are top heavy and you're heavily relying on one guy or two guys, it's not really how you go ahead and win the hardware. So, I mean, this might be a ridiculous question for South Carolina, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Iowa, LSU, there may be more of an answer there, but is there anybody you think that can kind of derail South Carolina, Iowa, or LSU, whoever comes out of, you know, that potential matchup, from getting to Cleveland? I mean, South Carolina, again, might be a little bit of a ridiculous question, but anything is possible.
Yeah, I don't think it's ridiculous to ask that question, because any good team can have a bad game. The problem is, we ain't seen South Carolina have a bad game all season. Like, even when we think like this is a bad game or this isn't them playing to their characteristics. They find a way to win. And like, that's what makes teams so good, is if you can find a way to win, even when you're playing outside of yourself. So I don't see a team knocking off South Carolina. I can't fathom it at this point, but they are not invincible. No team in a tournament style is invincible, because every team can have an off shooting night. Any team can, you know, it can come down to that one play. We saw it with South Carolina in Tennessee. They left Camilla open thinking, oh, she's not a three-point shooter, and sis hit the shot to win the game. So anything can happen, and anything can happen. But I don't see a team derailing South Carolina because they're better. It just, something will happen that South Carolina will get in their own way if that happens. Iowa LSU, I think both teams are vulnerable enough, or let me not say vulnerable. I think both Colorado and UCLA are good enough to win. So it really isn't about Iowa and LSU. Although I think LSU was playing great. I think LSU has an offense and defensive balance. I think they are, again, one of the top offensive teams in the country. They, like, LSU is, they're rolling, and they're rolling at the right time. But I don't want to sleep on UCLA, because they've got Lauren Betts back now, who's certainly going to hold down the middle. We all know what Charisma Osborne and Kiki Rice can do.
Yes.
So, and Corey Close is a great coach. She's been in these positions before. She knows how to coach her girls through it. They just got to execute, right? So I'm not about to sleep on Colorado or UCLA being capable of defeating Iowa and LSU. So that's how I will answer that question. South Carolina, no, but Iowa and LSU, they got to show up in the Sweet 16 for real, because they are facing teams who are capable of winning.
And I think it's fair to say that in comparison to South Carolina, Iowa and LSU might have a little bit more of potential weak spots where teams can kind of go ahead and pounce on. Not to say that South Carolina doesn't, but if they do, they have a very good way of hiding them, because I haven't seen them.
So, I love it. I can't wait for this LSU-UCLA matchup. Honestly, I'm more excited for that than any other matchup this weekend.
Listen, we will get into the Kim Mulkey press conference or warning another time, because that was also something that took over Twitter. I said, girl, what's coming down?
Kim, sit down.
I said, what is coming down? You seem very upset.
It's so drama filled. Sit down, Kim.
Girl, I've never been so invested in the Washington Post in my life. So
I'm sitting here waiting for this article.
Like a Beyonce album. I'm like, where's the drop?
Where's the link?
What is she concerned about? Listen, we're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, we're headed to Portland for that side of the bracket. We'll be right back.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everybody. Ashley here, Tarika here. And as promised, it is time for the Portland side of the bracket. And yes, it is still chalky, but there are some intriguing potential storylines that we're going to dive into. So would you say, though, that I feel like the Portland side of the bracket is probably the most likely side to not send a number one seed to Cleveland? Do you think that's fair, or do you feel like that's... I don't know.
Well, you know what? I think that that's fair because I think that I do not have a number one seed coming out of one of those sides.
Really? So no USC, no Texas.
Not a number one. Yeah. So one side of the Portland region, I do not have. Mm-hmm. I do not have no Texas, I think. I'm just going to say, because I know we're going to pick our final four again later in the show. But I think that these two regions are interesting from a seeding perspective. I love USC. I love everything about them and what they've been doing. Texas, I feel like, has been so under the radar, and I couldn't be more proud of Texas. Sure. Like, I think so many people looked at them and thought their season was going to be done. When we talk about Rory Harmon being out for the rest of the season, but Aaliyah Moore, Madison Booker, everybody has stepped up to next level play. And I love that for Tennessee. So, I love that for Texas. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say Tennessee. But I look at this side of the bracket and I think, like, there are still some dark horses that are there. Like, I was surprised that Gonzaga beat Utah. I was surprised at that. But they're no stranger to being in this position. NC State is not a game, y'all. Like, NC State has come to ball. Like, they are to be feared. And if I'm Stanford, looking at how close they played against Iowa State, they better be careful. And Cameron Brink needs to make sure she stays out of foul trouble so she can be a factor, because that's huge for them. They definitely can present someone other than a one seed to the Final Four. The capability is there.
I mean, it's definitely interesting. We're talking about a team that knows a thing or two about Final Fours, the UConn Huskies. I mean, two wins away from another Final Four on their record book when it comes to the Huskies. I mean, how likely is it that they're going to make their way all the way to Cleveland? Obviously, they've been dealing with a lot of injuries and they've been powering through despite that. So that's a testament of a really good team that, you know, that is not something that's been a factor for them, at least in the grand scheme of winning games. Obviously, it's a factor when how you're winning them, or the intensity in which you're winning them, or the way in which you're winning them. But a win is a win. And in this tournament, a win is a win. It counts. It's one and done. And you just want to be on the good side of that, not the bad side of that. So, I mean, can they make their way back?
I am old enough to remember when I'm old enough to remember when it was almost a foregone conclusion that UConn was going to the Final Four. It's been that kind of a program. Mm-hmm. 22 total Final Four, 6 perfect seasons. Same. Like, it's just like, it was almost a foregone conclusion that this was going to be a team to make it. But they haven't been to the championship since 2022, which feels crazy, but it was literally 2022.
Which is really not that long ago. In basketball years,
it isn't that long ago. But in basketball years, it feels like forever because we're like, where's UConn?
Right.
I have said all year that I think that this UConn team is just, it just feels different. It started off a little slower than I think people realize. Paige Bueckers got reacclimated to being back on the court, as we know that she was out last year. They lost AZ Futa again for another year. Aaliyah Edwards stepped up her game tremendously. We know Aaliyah probably gonna be a lottery pick in the draft, so that's cool. It just feels like this team didn't get as much conversation, which in some ways I know people are happy about that because they were probably tired of talking about UConn. But at the same time, I think it works. Yeah, like I'm sure people were like, I'm happy when you're talking about UConn right now. But at the same time, I feel like that worked for them because they were able to kind of fly under the radar here later on in the season. They played incredibly well. They got some big big performances out of Paige Beckers here lately. I mean, she's in the player of the year conversation.
For sure.
And in my mind, I'm just thinking this is a team that can really sneak their way in the Final Four. And while no one would be surprised, I feel like everyone would be surprised. Like, we didn't talk about y'all. We didn't see y'all being this team that could be here. So can they make it to the Final Four? Absolutely they can. Now they got to go through a couple of other teams to get there. They've got to see Duke, which is a very hot team right now. I still can't believe that they beat Ohio State after starting the game on an 11-minute
It pains me, but go ahead.
Oh my God. I was like, what, Duke? Y'all really pulled this out? And see, the Michigan State in me is like, thank you for knocking off Ohio State. But anyway. but at the same time, that you've got to get through Duke. They got to get through USC. It would be so fun to see a Paige Beckers, Watkins, Elite Eight. I think that would be so dope, but it's not going to be an easy road. It really won't be, but it has certainly been fun to watch a team that is probably one of the marquee programs of women basketball kind of fly under the radar a little bit.
You mentioned, you know, flying under the radar, and the name that you mentioned, Juju Watkins, is not doing that by any means. She is very much on the radar, very much on the spotlight. In the spotlight, rather. And there's just been so much just intensity surrounding her in the best way possible. I mean, she is a total rock star at just 18 years old. I mean, she leaves the game and there is a crowd of people outside waiting for her just for a photo, a conversation, an autograph, you name it. Absolutely love it. I don't know if you saw Joel Embiid rocking her bun.
He
looks good with the Juju bun. I thought I was gonna not like it. She should think about rocking it next season. It's kind of working for him. But there obviously with, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. And, you know, Juju has already kind of been deemed the next face of women's college basketball. And, you know, with that comes certain expectations. But I wonder if the expectations for her may be a little bit too high at this early in her career. You know, I wonder if she doesn't make a Final Four with USC, with everything that surrounds her, the star power that surrounds her, are people who will be disappointed by that because they say she's the next face of the league, she should be there. Are they putting too much on her too soon when she is just now figuring it out?
Yeah, I don't think that there should be an expectation for USC to make the Final Four. They weren't expected to win their conference, and they did. Mm-hmm. They weren't expected to be a number one seed, and they are. So I don't know if there's a true expectation for them to make the Final Four. I think there are more people who probably will think that UConn can come out of, like, now that they are where they are, despite everything that I just said, I think more people would be less surprised if UConn made the Final Four than if USC did. Although they're very good, very capable, and Juju Watkins has just been a star. She's 18. She's helped lead this team with a very strong supporting cast. I don't think that there should be an expectation for her. She's already done more than people probably would have given her credit for. The way that she has scored this season, the records that she's broken, she's also in the player of the year conversation, rightfully so. She's gotten USC back to the Sweet 16, a place they haven't been in 30 years. She's broken Lisa Leslie's record. Like, she has done so much already that there's no way you can throw any type of disappointment on what she accomplished in her first year. This is an 18-year-old girl who won't be 19 until July, and she's already done so much. And what I love about her, Ash, is that she is so humble. Like, she's so humble. She's just like,
oh my God,
I'm so thankful. I appreciate my team. You know what I mean? Because it is a team effort. And that's like what I love the most is that her team supports her. They back her up. They give her the ability to be the kind of beast that she is on the court. And they support that on the court and off the court. I just don't know if it is fair to put an expectation on her to make the Final Four. But if she doesn't make the Final Four, if USC doesn't make the Final Four, there's no way you can look at this team and say this is a disappointment. Like,
And again,
I get excited about next season.
I just got to give Juju her flowers because I know at 18 years old, and Tarika, I know you can say the same. I was a hot mess at 18.
Girl, like, I was living in Miami at 18. Girl,
at 18, I was not, you know, being a polished superstar in the making. I was a hot mess, probably way too many classes during my senior year of high school and saying, whatever happens, happens.
I was a freshman in college at 18. I was a student athlete, but I was absolutely on the bench. Like, I was not starting my freshman year. I was on the bench.
Yeah, Juju, be better than us. You already are. you're good, girl. Whatever happens from here, you are tears ahead of than most of us, because what a time 2011 was.
Okay,
our last point of the show today. I mean, we're going to talk Final Four. Obviously, anything can happen and anything can change. But right now, let's say in a perfect world, whatever you predict is going to come true. What does that Final Four look like for you?
I have South Carolina coming out of Albany 1.
Yes.
I've got LSU coming out of Albany 2. I have Stanford coming out of Albany 3, but I certainly would not be surprised if it was NC State. But I still have Stanford coming out of Portland 1, and then I have USC coming out of Portland 2.
Okay. So we were talking, obviously, Duke being intense and UConn, one of those teams are going to come out of that matchup. Duke, UConn. Would you have UConn or would you have Duke coming out that to face USC?
I have UConn. I have a UConn-USC matchup, and I have UConn and USC with USC winning by a thin thread. Like, I think that's going to be a close game, like, down to the wire.
So no faith in the UConn championship DNA to rear its powerful head and say, we ain't going down like that. Not
this
against
USC. This is one of those moments where I am okay being wrong. Like, I am totally fine being wrong. Like, do I live in Connecticut? UConn Husky Nation, do not come for me, okay? Like, I'm saying, y'all can do it. I just didn't. Who knows? Okay, wow.
Listen, but the great thing about this podcast is more than likely we might be wrong. So when we revisit this next week, we may be having a drastically different conversation. So UConn, pump your brakes if you want to go ahead and find Tarika. Just give her one more week. She may come back to your side.
They will come to me in the grocery store, Ashley, and be like, oh, so you didn't pick Connecticut?
Yikes.
Sorry.
Listen, that's terrifying. Connecticut, we got to get better hobbies, y'all. We got to get better hobbies. Go outside, ride a bike. You know, the weather's getting warm. Let's do it. Listen, guys, that does it for us here this week. We will be back next week. Please remember to comment, like, subscribe, share with whoever you have in your life who is a college basketball fan, or whoever you have in your life who's becoming a women's college basketball fan. And make sure you guys subscribe to the CBS College Basketball YouTube channel. Until next week, Ashley and Tarika, we're out.
Hey, everyone. This is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me, and also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.